this next section, beginning with chapter 4, verse 35, and going through chapter 5, verse 43, begins a new section in Mark's gospel. So we had four parables in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 34. And now, in this next section, we will have four miracles. Four miracles of Jesus. So we saw, as we look at this in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35, and going through the end of chapter 4, we have Jesus calming the storm, demonstrating His power over the forces of nature. Then in chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, Jesus delivers a man who is possessed by a legion of demons, demonstrating His power over the world of spirits. Third, in chapter 5, verses 25 through 34, the Lord delivers a woman from an incurable disease, an issue of blood that she has had for many years, demonstrating His power over physical illness. And then finally, in verses 35 through 43 of chapter 5, we're going to see the Lord raise a young child back to life, demonstrating His power over death. And the common thread that we're going to see in each one of these miracles that Jesus performs is that each one of them seems to be a seemingly impossible situation. We have a storm that no seaman could overcome. We have a demoniac, someone who's possessed by demons, this demoniac that no one could tame. We have a disease that no physician could cure. And we have a tragedy, a death, that no parent could keep from happening. And so in each of these cases, we're going to find that the people who are enduring these situations have exhausted all of their resources. And then Jesus steps in. And He solves the problem when nothing else and no one else could do it. You know, God loves to display Himself in the midst of problems. And these miracles that we have here, these four miracle stories that Mark records for us in his gospel, these miracles authenticate, prove the teaching that Jesus has just given us in the parables of the kingdom that He gave us in Mark chapter 4 here. We saw Jesus teaching about the kingdom of God and giving this authoritative teaching about what the kingdom of God is like and how we come into the kingdom of God and what it means that we would be a part of His kingdom. And now He is going to prove His authority in teaching in that through the works that He does, through these miracles. So as we come to chapter 4, verse 35, we find that it has been a long and difficult day for Jesus. Remember back to chapter 4, verse 1, where Jesus got into a boat just off the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He used that little ship as a pulpit from which He preached to the great multitude that was gathered around on the shore to hear Him. And when the day was over, He called His disciples to set sail for the other side of the lake. Listen to Mark's account of it, starting in verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats also were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come to study this passage in the Gospel of Mark today, we ask God that you would open your word to us. Shine the light through your Holy Spirit upon your Spirit-inspired scriptures. And show us, Lord, what it means that Jesus is Lord over all of nature, over all of the storms. And show us, God, how that will make a difference in our lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Jesus is in the boat already, he tells his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side." Darkness is falling here. It says evening has come. And so as the darkness falls, the disciples are making their way across the lake. We don't know if there's, you know, a slight breeze that's blowing them there with the sail or whether they're having to row. But as they're headed for the other side of the lake, Jesus falls asleep in the rear of the ship. And he was, my guess is Jesus was just tired. He was fatigued from a very long day that he had spent teaching all of the people. And as Jesus just falls asleep in the back of the boat. Now, most of these men, as we told the kids, most of these men, several of them at least, were used to being on the sea at night. They would often go out at night to fish. They would go out, they would throw down their nets, they would drag them along, and they would catch fish at night. They were used to being on the Sea of Galilee at this hour. Several of them were fishermen, after all. But on this night, these disciples, these fishermen who were now followers of Jesus, found themselves in a storm that was beyond anything that they had seen before. They were in the storm of their lives here on the lake. And in our Christian lives, as we're going along, following Jesus, just like the disciples were following Jesus here, we're headed to an unseen port somewhere that the Lord has for us. And as we sail, storms will arise, and they will toss our lives. And we will often think that these storms are going to destroy us. And I want you to know that as we look at this story today, as we go through it, we're going to see that storms are not sent into our lives to destroy us, but to develop us. I hope that you're going to see that from this night on the sea. Well, let's look at it today. First, we're going to see that it was a night of great danger. Verses 35 through 37, as Jesus and His men are sailing across the Sea of Galilee at night, they find themselves engulfed in this terrible storm. It says, a great windstorm arose. Storms like this were very common on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is an unusual body of water. It is about 13 miles long and about 8 miles wide at its greatest width there. That's a relatively small lake. It is the elevation of the lake is about 680 feet below sea level. Below sea level, this lake. And then the water that flows out of that lake, of course, becomes the Jordan River that then flows down south towards the Dead Sea, which is even further below sea level. And, of course, that water goes into the Dead Sea and just stays there. That's why it's the Dead Sea. It doesn't have an outlet. But the Sea of Galilee is a freshwater lake because it does have an outlet. The Jordan River flows out of it. But it is 680 feet below sea level, a very low elevation. Surrounding the Sea of Galilee are hills, mountains. And what happens around this area is that the winds often come off of the Mediterranean Sea out in the west, come across the land, pick up speed, go up over the hills and the mountains, drop down onto the Sea of Galilee, and storms can come up at a moment's notice. Sort of like they do here where the mountains are. You don't see it coming sometimes. Comes over the hills and all of a sudden, bang, you've got a storm that just hits all of a sudden and you didn't even see it coming. It's kind of what happens on the Sea of Galilee. The sea can be calm one minute, and it can be having a violent storm the next. And the unusual thing is that these storms don't usually happen at night. So these men did not set out expecting a storm. They set out expecting to get across the lake. But a storm came anyway. And that's the way life is, isn't it? One minute you can be enjoying fair weather, and the next you can find yourself in the middle of this terrible, horrible storm in your life. One phone call, one 24-hour period of time, one doctor visit, one tick of the clock, and there you are in the storm of your life. And it shouldn't surprise us. The Bible says that storms will come our way. In fact, the chances are most of you are in one of those places today. Someone has said you are either in a storm, just coming out of a storm, or you're headed for a storm. That's the way life is. So the suddenness of the storm, it just comes upon them. Suddenly a great windstorm arose, it says. Second, we look at the severity of the storm. It says, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. And these seasoned fishermen were frightened by the severity of this storm. The ship was rocking, it was reeling, it's full of water, and they're afraid that the boat is about to sink. It was a violent storm, It was nighttime. They couldn't see where they were going. They couldn't see where the shore was. They didn't know if they were going to be dashed against the rocks there on the shore or if they were still out in the middle of the lake. It's a frightening thing. They were in terrible danger. They really were. They were in fear of their lives. And again, that's a lot like what we face in life, isn't it? When storms come, they often come and they're severe and they cause us anguish and they cause us pain. The storms of suffering blow into our lives and they devastate us with heartache and heartbreak and turmoil. One problem arises after another and all of a sudden they pile on top of us until we're overwhelmed and we feel like we're sinking in hopelessness. Many of you here could testify of the storms that you've faced just this last year. And the lesson is that Christians are not exempt from storms. In fact, sometimes it seems like they're worse for Christians than they are for other people. Sometimes they're very severe. And some of us wonder, well, you know, if God is a good God and He loves us so much, why do these things happen to us? And let me tell you this. Bible doesn't give us all the reasons why God allows some things. We know that there are good reasons that God has. Sometimes He is using those things to develop our character, to make us more like Christ. Sometimes He allows those things to wake us up to the situations that we're in. Sometimes He uses those things as discipline in our lives to show us our need for Him. And to help us get out of sin that we're in. But there are a lot of different reasons why God allows storms. And we can't always look at somebody else's life and say, what a mess that person's going through. They must have done something really bad. We can't say that. Because we don't know the reasons. Sometimes we can't even look at our own lives and say, here's why it's happening. Sometimes it just happens. And sometimes it's severe. So even when we are believers, even when we're in the boat with Jesus, that's where the disciples are. They're right there in the boat with Jesus. He's in the boat with them. Sometimes storms are going to come. What is the source of the storm here? Where did this storm come from? It may have been just a natural storm. After all, you know, as I've already shared, the Sea of Galilee was prone to these types of storms that would come up at a moment's notice. Even though it was rare for it to happen at night, could have just happened. Could have been that God sent the storm. We read that passage in the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, that talked about the men that go out onto the sea and God sent the storm. If you read that passage, they were in this midst of this terrible storm. The waves were going, you know, as high as the mountains, it said in that passage, going down into the depths like the deep valleys. And it literally says that God sent the storm. So sometimes God purposely sends storms. And it could have been that was the case here. We don't know. It doesn't really say. Or the storm could have been sent by the enemy. Could have been a satanic storm. You know, it's interesting that when Jesus calms the storm down in verse 39, the words that He uses is, be still, or be quiet. You know, it's the very same words he used back in chapter 1, verse 25. You know who he said that to? A demon. After he had cast this demon was speaking about Jesus, and he says to the demon, "Be quiet and come out of him." And he did. The word means to be muzzled. It has the idea of muzzling a violent animal. And when Jesus used that word in chapter 1, verse 25, he was telling a demon to be quiet. Perhaps this storm was sent by Satan in his attempt to even destroy the Lord Jesus. We don't know. Could have been. But you see, the same storms in our lives can come from various sources. Sometimes the storms are our own fault. We do things that get ourselves into hot water. You know, sometimes we put ourselves right in the middle of it through sin, and we suffer the consequences of that. If you don't believe me, just think about Jonah in the Old Testament. God said, "Go." Jonah said, "No." It was sin, right? God says, "Whoa." And Jonah said, "Oh." There's the whole story of Jonah right there. Sometimes the storm's our own fault. Sometimes God sends the storms. Sometimes God allows Satan to send those storms. We saw that in the book of Job. Job was a godly man. Satan says, "Well, you know, if you just let me take a few things away from him, you let me send some storms," he said, "he'll curse you to your face, God." God allowed Satan to send a storm that wiped out all of his children and his flocks and herds and everything. He lost everything. He then sent a storm into his life, not a literal storm, but he sent disease into Job's life. God allowed Satan to do that. Satan will whip up a storm in your life, sometimes just to try to defeat you and to get you to try and turn away from God. He did it with Job. Sometimes he does it with us. Thankfully, Satan is limited in his ability to torment us. He's limited by the sovereignty of God. God, he can only do what God allows him to do. And the Bible says that there is no temptation seized you, no trial, no testing, no temptation has seized you except which is common to man. And God will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you're able to bear, but in He will always provide that way of escape. See, God has control over the storms, even when they're sent by Satan. So it was a night of great dangers, but second of all, it was also a night of great doubts. Verse 38, the disciples say, "Teacher, do you not care?" You see, the greatest storm that night was not just the storm that was hitting the Sea of Galilee, it was the storm that was in the hearts of those disciples. The storm of doubt, of a lack of faith in their lives. So that storm on the sea whipped up this storm of doubt in their minds and in their hearts, and it threatened to drown them in unbelief. And so they run to Jesus and they wake Him up. They say, "Teacher, don't you care?" They really doubted whether Jesus was caring for them. You know, some have looked at this story and said, you know, they doubted. They had a lack of faith in what Jesus could do. I'm not so sure about that. Their lack of faith was whether Jesus cared enough to do. Obviously, they maybe even thought that he could do something because they ran over and they shook him and woke him up. Maybe they thought he could do. Their question was, don't you care? And a lot of times that's the way it is with us as well. When we're going through those tough times, when we're going through the storms of life, sometimes, yeah, we're in our minds we think, yeah, God could do something about this. And our problem is not that we think God can't, but we think maybe He won't. Maybe He doesn't care. That was their problem. We begin to doubt the love of God. We begin to doubt the purpose of God. We begin to doubt whether He really has our best in mind here. We begin to think maybe God doesn't really care. When Jesus arrived in Bethany and Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, his sisters, Mary and Martha, both said to him, "Lord, if you had just been here, our brother would not have died." What are they saying? "Lord, you could have come. We sent word in time." Jesus stayed where he was for a few days. And the sisters were saying to Jesus, "Why didn't you care? You could have made a difference." It's not so uncommon that when we go through storms, we begin to wonder, does God really care? If God really knows, and He's really in control of all things, and He really is the powerful God that we say He is, if He has this ability to get us through this, why doesn't He? Doesn't He care? And so they doubted His concern for them. They doubted His commitment to them. They said, we're perishing. Don't you care? We're perishing. And they doubted His comments to them. He had told them back up in verse 35, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." You think He wasn't going to do it? Is He not able to? Young military officer and his bride were married. They set out on a honeymoon voyage, and while they sailed, there was a violent storm that came up and began to beat against the ship. And the young bride became very frightened by all of this, by the storm. But she noticed that her new husband wasn't afraid at all. And she became irritated with him, because he wasn't afraid like she was. And after a while, this young military officer pulled out his sword that was next to him there. And as he pulled out that sword out of its sheath, he placed it right up against her neck. And she looked at him and laughed. He said, "Aren't you afraid?" And she said, "Oh no." She says, "I'm not afraid of a sword when it's in the hand of someone who loves me." And then she got the point. Did you? You don't have to be afraid of a storm when it's in the hands of the one who loves you. You see, the storms that go through our lives are under the control of the one who rules over land and sea, the one who has the power to calm the storms. And He loves you. He loves you. It was a night of great dangers. It was a night of great doubts. And thirdly, it was a night of great discoveries. here's what the disciples learned and maybe what we need to learn today as well. When they roused Jesus from sleep, He began to work. And as He did, we learn some lessons. First of all, we learn about the power of the Lord. The storm that so terrified these men posed no problem for Jesus. It says He rebuked the wind and He spoke to the sea and He said, "Be quiet, be still." And immediately it did. You know, that Lord Jesus that we serve still has that same power. Your storm is no problem for Him. He can silence it with a word if He so desires. He may, however, desire to allow the storm to rage. When He does this, He is well able to protect your life in the midst of that storm. He is able. They also learned about the promises of the Lord. Jesus said, "We're going over to the other side of the lake." He kept His promise, didn't He? It looked like they weren't going to make it. But the Lord keeps His promises. They also learned about the presence of the Lord. When the Lord Jesus is in your boat, you have an advantage here. Amen. As we sail on this sea of life, we need to make sure that Jesus is in our boat. Having Jesus in your ship makes all the difference in the world. They were able to call on Him because He was in the boat with them. They were able to see Him move in power because He was with them. They were able to experience His peace because He was with them in the boat. Is He in your boat? If He isn't, how in the world will you weather the storms that are going to come in your life? They also learned about the purposes of the Lord. You see, the storm taught these men a lesson that they could have learned no other way. You know, it would have been nice to simply have, if they could have simply believed the Lord that He cared, that He was able, that He was who He said He was. But this storm taught them something that they could have learned no other way. And sometimes that's true about us too. Sometimes God allows storms in our lives because they teach us things that about God that we could have learned no other way. You know, we have the Bible. We have all of these stories. We have things that we can learn all of this about the Lord. We have the testimony of others around us. And we have seen God answer prayers in so many ways. And yet sometimes there are just some lessons we're not going to learn unless times get tough. And we find out God can get us through. He has power over the storm. He has power to get us through the storm. The storm, I think, increased the faith of these disciples. And that may have been the purpose all along. They also learned about the peace of the Lord. While they were fretting and fearing, and what is the Lord doing while they're fretting and fearing? He's sleeping. Why? Because He knows He is right in the center of the Father's will. He knows that He's going to die on a cross, not in a shipwreck. He can sleep through that storm because He trusts in His Father to take care of Him. And so the disciples learn a lesson about the peace of Jesus. They also, most importantly, learn a lesson about the person of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus calmed the sea, their first reaction was what? It says in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly. They were greatly afraid. First, back at the beginning of the story, there was a great storm. Now, after the storm, there was a great calm. And then they had a great fear. They weren't fearing the storm anymore, were they? What was their great fear? Their great fear was that fellow in the boat with them. Really? Because they look at it and say, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Someone has said, if we fear the Lord, then we have nothing else to fear. What a lesson. They were amazed. They questioned, who can this be? Kind of a rhetorical question. And the answer is left for us to supply, isn't it? But that answer is not difficult to arrive at. The Jews, the Old Testament, proclaimed that it was God who had the power over the storms of the sea. In Psalm 89, we already looked at Psalm 107, but this one says it as well. Several places in the Old Testament that says it. But listen to Psalm 89, verses 8 and 9. It says this, O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. Who stills the waves? The Lord, the God of hosts. He is the one who is in control of every puff of wind, every angry wave, every storm. He is the Lord our God. So what did they learn? They learned who Jesus is. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a miracle worker. He is the Lord our God. Do you know Him today? I don't know what storm you're going through today, but I do know who can still it. I do know who can get you through it. I don't know if it's a storm of suffering, a storm of sorrow, or a storm of sin. But He is able to deliver you and to set you free. Would you listen to Jesus say in your life today, peace, be still. Would you stand with me as we pray? Our Father in heaven, we come to you through the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Father, we're praying that just as Jesus was able to calm the storm for the disciples on that night, Lord, that you would calm the storm in us now. Father, I pray that if someone is still in the storm of sin and rebellion against you, that Father, today they would turn to Jesus and say, save me, Lord. Lift me up out of this storm. I turn from my sin and from all of my rebellion against you. And I'm calling upon Jesus, save me. Oh Lord, I pray that you'd save today. Father, I pray for Christians here today that you would encourage and strengthen us to go out into this week knowing that no matter what storm arises, you will get us through. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.